that the ultimate benediction as the result of all senses is to see me by realization. Purport. The ultimate realization of the Supreme Truth is knowing and seeing face to face the personality of Godhead. Realization of the impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma features of the personality of Godhead is not ultimate realization. When one realizes the Supreme Lord, one does not struggle hard to perform such penances. The next stage of life is to discharge devotional service to the Lord just to satisfy Him. In other words, one who has realized and seen the Supreme Lord has attained all perfection because everything is included in that highest perfectional stage. The impersonalists and the pseudo-mystics, however, cannot reach this state. Brahma is a great personality, no doubt. It's no ordinary thing to be Brahma. There's one Brahma in the universe. The universe is called Brahmanda. It means the Brahma's egg. Egg-shaped receptacle in which Brahma is sitting. Eta Brahmanda Bhari Ananta Jivagan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has analyzed that. Within the Brahmanda, there are unlimited, uncountable jivas. So among the uncountable jivas, one is Brahma. There's only one. Most elevated position. Among all the jivas in the universe, his position is the most elevated. Of course, any devotee is in a better position than Brahma. But, you know, Thakur has intimated by saying, Kita janma hao tata tua das. Bahimokka brahma janme nahi mora ash. He said that if I can be born as a worm, but if I'm your devotee, that's okay. That's all right. But I don't want to be born as Brahma if I'm inimical towards you. So the position of a devotee, even in the body of a worm, is a bigger position. But from the external point of view, the position of Brahma is the biggest in the universe. Just like we may say that any... Just here, we can relate this to our position here, that any devotee of Krishna is the best person, but it doesn't mean he's got the biggest position. Just like Gaurendu is a resident of Anand, he's not the local MP. There are many people with a bigger position. In fact, he doesn't have any position, legally speaking. But in terms of being a devotee, it's a greater position. But materially, there are many, many people with a greater position than he, even within the city of Anand. So like this, Brahma here is the greatest material position. Of course, this particular Brahma, he's not at all Bahirmukh. He's Krishna Sevanmukh. He's inclined to serve Krishna. He's a great devotee. However, being in the position of Brahma, that's a very pious position, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he is a great devotee. It's stated in Shastra that if one perfectly executes his duty as a Brahmana for 100 lifetimes, then he may attain to the position of Brahma. It's not such an easy thing to do because some fault may come. In the path of material activities, even if one is trying to be very good, some fault may come. This Arjuna also asked Krishna, Atakena priyuktayam baladivaniha papam chalti purushaha anichchanapi vashnaya baladivaniyojita. He asked Krishna that how is it that sometimes we do that, some sinful activity which we don't really want to, but as if by force we do something wrong. So what did Krishna answer? Who knows the verse? Important verse? Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna samudhava, mahashana mahabhatma, vidyatim ihavainam. He said that it is kama, material desire, which is again expressed as anger, which is born from the mode of passion, and which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. Mahashana means all devouring. Everyone is swallowed up by this mode of passion. So material desire, that is symptomatic of the mode of passion. Now, a brahmana is supposed to cultivate the mode of goodness. But the mode of passion can at any time come. We see that in many cases there are brahmanas who perform penances. And then just penance means they're performing penances trying to cultivate the mode of goodness. And then just something happens and then they become angry and they curse someone and all the result of their penance is lost. Because the tendency, this material world, the tendency is always there to act in the mode of passion. Hayam mayar das kari nana abhilash. Narottam Das says that when we come to this material world, we become the servant of maya and we have so many material desires. Penance means to withdraw oneself from those material desires, at least temporarily. Many people may do penances for the sake of realizing some material desire, like Hiranyakashipu. He was performing penances, but the idea was that his material desires would be fulfilled. But the very meaning of penance is that you don't engage in sense gratification. You withdraw yourself from them. So if one is performing brahminical duties, the penance that is part of the life of a Brahmin. He's supposed to live very simply. Shamo, Dhamma, Tapa. All these terms. Tapa itself means penance. And Shama, Dhamma, suggest self-control. Controlling the senses. So these are activities of the mode of goodness. But the tendency is there to be in the mode of passion. Even Brahma, he's got that position. He's supposed to be the supreme Brahmin in the mode of goodness. But he is the gunavatar for the mode of passion, because he's created. So that means that even to have the position of Brahma, even though one may be very much in the mode of goodness, but still that desire is there. As long as one is not fully a pure devotee of Krishna, then even he may be very austere, very much in the mode of goodness, that tendency is going to be there to want to lord it over material nature, as Prabhupada uses. This is a Prabhupada term. You want the desire to lord it over. I will be the controller. Ishvara aham bhogi. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. So this is Brahma's position, very high position, very elevated, most elevated position in the material world, which is brought about by penance. He's very much accustomed. Even all the inhabitants of Brahma Loka, of all the upper planets, upper planetary system, Jana Loka, Mahara Loka, Tapa Loka, the very name Tapa Loka suggests penance, and Brahma Loka, they're very much inclined towards performing penances. So that for Brahma it's very natural. But here, Krishna says that the real result of your penance, of any penance, is to see me, to understand me. Vasudeva param tapaha. All the activities can be performed, all pious activities. Vasudeva paraveda, Vasudeva paramakaha. Vasudeva param jnanam, Vasudeva param tapaha. All these activities, tapasya, offering sacrifices, studying the Vedas, cultivating knowledge in other ways. All the very aim and purpose is simply to understand Vasudeva, Krishna. And when one understands him, to understand him means to serve him. Not simply, I've understood. Just like so many times previously, when we were preaching in India, we used to say, oh, I know everything about Krishna. If you know, then you should serve. Nowadays people don't. At least people are honest enough nowadays to admit, I don't know anything about Krishna. Mostly they don't. So if you actually understand Krishna, then you have to serve. That's the meaning of understanding. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam prabhatite iti madva bhajante mam buddha bhavasamamitaha. Krishna, he is the source of everything. Everything comes from Krishna. One who is intelligent enough to understand this worships Krishna. There are many such shlokas in the Gita, which give this indication that one who knows Krishna He must serve him. Simply to know is not enough. The very least one should serve in Shantaras, which is hardly service, but it's appreciation. That's the Shantaras that is expected. Of course, there are different states, there are different kinds of Shantaras. There is a Shantaras of the impersonalist in this material world. But that is supposed to, or the yogi, in which he appreciates the form of the Lord. But that's not really devotional service. Shantaras in the spiritual world, that's also imbued with the spirit of service, but not active service, that one offers himself, his very being is as a flute or a tree or whatever. His service is there by being in a particular form which will be used by Krishna or appreciated by Krishna, and simultaneously the devotee is appreciating. Simultaneously the devotee is appreciating Krishna. But really to know Krishna means to serve him. And to serve him, there is an activity of love, because there's no remuneration. Vetan Mare Diya Premadhan, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is commenting on his own verse, Nadhanam, Najanam, I don't want money, I don't want followers. Give me the payment of love of God, he was saying. So love of God means love of Krishna. You will see Krishna, premamjana charita bhakti vilochane santas sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Those whose eyes are smeared with the salve of love, very beautiful and poetic way of expressing, then they see Krishna always in their heart of hearts. You can see him face to face. So this Lord Narayana is telling Brahma that you're very much inclined towards performing austerities, but the perfection of your austerities will be to see me face to face. And seeing face to face means going on seeing face to face. Even the demons, they may see Krishna face to face, but then they're killed by Krishna. So they don't go on seeing Krishna face to face. Of course, if they attain Swarupya Mukti, they may see Krishna face, they may continue to do so. But that real seeing Krishna face to face is seeing with the eyes of love. Otherwise the demons see, but they don't actually see Krishna because they don't properly appreciate Krishna. So their seeing, that is misunderstanding. They're not appreciating Krishna. Just like that Arishtasura, he came in the form of a bull. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has analyzed that he is the incarnation of the empiric method of worldly morality, who will seek to, who will not appreciate Krishna being with Radha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has analyzed, he's the empiric method. And Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur has given further elaboration that he comes when Krishna is enjoying with Radha, then the external moralist will say, see, this is Radha is someone else's wife. So before one can appreciate Krishna's intimate dealings, then the demon of worldly vision, that has to be destroyed. So the demon was seeing Krishna face to face. He was killed by Krishna. These are all so many obstacles. Demons really represent so many obstacles on the path of devotion. So when these are killed, then you can actually see Krishna. Because the demons, they're seeing Krishna is thinking, oh, here's my enemy. I should kill him. So all these enemies, worldly morality, rational thinking, material rational thinking, these are all enemies on the path of seeing Krishna. As long as we think like this, then we'll see Krishna in the wrong way. Everyone's seeing Krishna. Even the demons are seeing Krishna. But they see Krishna in the wrong way. Here in India, more or less, everyone knows Krishna. I mean, they say, why are you preaching? Because everyone knows Krishna, but in the wrong way. They've misunderstood or misinterpreted. They'll make so many theories about Krishna. How Krishna is... was immoral, but he'll be coming again in a more moral form. Or that he was immoral. or that he's an incarnation of the mode of goodness, or that his form is not eternal. They have so many wrong ideas. But the devotees, they come and destroy these wrong ideas, just like Krishna killed the demons. So the devotees, they also kill the demons by giving the right idea about Krishna. They kill the demons of wrong ideas about Krishna so that Krishna can actually be seen with love. So this is the result of all penances, to see Krishna. Brahma, he was inclined towards penance. Someone else may be inclined towards visiting holy places, whatever it may be. But the ultimate perfection of all activities will be to understand Krishna. And if as a result of performing so many activities we don't understand Krishna, then it's all useless. Whatever else we may do. Aradito yadi haris tapasatita kim na aradito yadi haris tapasatita kim anta bahir yadi haris tapasatita kim na anta bahir yadi haris tapasatita kim. This analysis is given by Narad Muni, that if we're worshipping Krishna, then what is the need of performing severe austerities? Already we came to the perfectional point. And if we're not worshipping Krishna, then what's the use of performing so many austerities? All the austerities that should be directed towards Krishna. So if you're performing austerities but you're not worshipping Krishna, you don't come to the point of worshipping Krishna, then it's useless. And the same thing, if we're seeing Krishna within and without, then what's the need of performing so many austerities? And if you're not seeing Krishna within and without, then the same thing. What's the use of doing it? Either way, all these things, they're a means to an end. That's called yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga. They are simply ladders, steps on the ladder. Not ladders, steps on the ladder, which is supposed to bring us to the point of bhakti yoga, serving Krishna. Without which, even if one is an expert yogi, he can put his legs up behind his neck and sit and meditate. Can you do that? Put one leg here, another leg there, and sit and meditate. It requires a lot of practice, no doubt. Even with practice, I don't think I could do if I practice 24 hours a day for the next 24 years. Doubtful. But what is the use? Unless we have a sense of bhakti. So all these things, of course we may do. Even sometimes our devotees, they perform yoga exercises. But if, as a result of that, we forget Krishna, and what is the use? And if as a result of doing that we don't enhance our service to Krishna, what is the use? Of course we have to keep the body healthy for service to Krishna. That's also a consideration. We have to see how to keep the body healthy. But the whole purpose must be for the sake of serving Krishna. Everything must be done for the sake of serving Krishna. This is the message which is repeated throughout the whole Shastra, especially Gita and Bhagavatam, again and again and again. Everything is for serving Krishna, loving Krishna. That's why Prabhupada started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, there are many peripheral interests which come about if one becomes interested in Krishna Consciousness. By being interested in Vedic culture, we may become interested in Ayurveda, astrology, yoga practice, Sanskrit studies, music. There are so many elements of Vedic culture. But we always have to remember that all these things, that all the Vedic path is simply meant for understanding Krishna and loving Krishna. So if we emphasize a sub-section of Vedic knowledge so much that we forget or we somewhat obscure that the whole purpose of life, the whole purpose of the Vedic knowledge is to love Krishna, then again, by following the Vedas, we get into Maya. Mostly the followers of the Vedas are in Maya. Seems strange, doesn't it? That Krishna says, what is that? Pushpitam vacham vedavadarata pata nanyadasti divadinaha. They're attracted by the flowery words of the Vedas. Mostly the Vedas are concerned with the three modes of material nature. Trigunya Vishaya Veda. Mostly the Vedas. If you read the most of the Vedic literatures, if you read the Vedas, it's mostly about going to the heavenly planets, enjoying yourself, having a good time, having a party with the apsaras, drinking, boozing out on somas. This is what the Vedas are about. No, it's not about that. It's not at all about that. This is Maya. Mostly the Vedas are discussing Maya. Of course, the real point of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. See, what is that? How is that doing? Same thing as in the Upanishads. But because people are foolish, if you tell them, oh, you see, study the Vedas, you can go to the heavenly planets. Very good. If you tell them, study the Vedas, you can go to Krishna, they'll think, not very good. I don't want to go to Krishna. Why should I do that? I don't want to become a slave of God. God's okay. We like God. I don't surrender to Him. It's too much. It's asking too much. People are thinking. Just like if someone goes to the temple, they think, that's okay. That's good. God will bless me. But then if someone comes to the temple, and so many people are coming to the temple, and we say, why don't you surrender to Krishna? Follow the four regulated principles, stop watching TV, make the goal of your life Krishna. Wait a minute, I just came to the temple for darshan. I didn't come for this. What are they talking about? Leave me alone. They'll think it's too much. Why are they preaching like that? If we make a Hare Krishna rock and roll band, and play music and jump up and down in a jerky way, people say, well, that's pretty good. If we tell them there's a meeting, and we're telling you how to give up sense gratification, then you needn't book a hall with 5,000 seats. There's no use. But if we bring some Western rock star, Boy George or something like this, who sings all kinds of songs and also sometimes chants Hare Krishna. So you may do that. Just at the end you'll chant Hare Krishna. I think he chants Nitai Gaura Vaisham also. Yeah, he does. I heard some song of his. So then so many people will come. In Bombay they used to have this stadium. I used to hear at night when I was resting in Juhu. It was like some 5 kilometers away, you could hear the concert going on. It was so loud. Big stadium full of thousands of people. So of course the thousands of people are coming to the Juhu temple also. And they like to come for darshan. If we tell everyone who comes, we immediately, now you have to surrender to Krishna, why are you in Maya, give up sense gratification. People may not come. They'll be afraid to come. They'll think, this isn't very nice. Why aren't they being pleasant? Come to the temple. That's pious. It's very good. Come to the temple with our friends and family and dress up a little bit. Meet our relatives and friends and talk this and talk that. Take a photo at the Juhu temple. They'll take a photo and come in the groups. So it's nice. When we visit Bombay, we visit so many places, and we also visit the temple. So that's good. But the real aim of the temple is to preach Krishna consciousness for people who are not ready for that. then it may be introduced to them slowly. So the same thing, the Vedic knowledge is actually meant for bringing people to the point of loving Krishna. But because people are not ready for that, so something lesser stage is offered. This is an example of that Arundhati Vashishta Nyaya. There's a big star, one of these Saptarshi Vashishta. So there's another very small star next to that, his wife, Arundhati. They stay in separate planets, just next to each other. So if you want to point out the Arundhati star, first you have to sow. Here, you see this big shining star, Vashishta? Right next to it. You see right next to that? Small one, dimly shining, that's Arundhati. So like that, the knowledge of the Vedas, or the purpose of the Vedas, is very subtle and cannot be perceived by everyone very easily in the beginning. So if first of all, the Vashishta, the big thing is shown. If the purpose is to show Arundhati, but first of all, the big thing which is easy to see, that is shown. So it's easy to become interested in sense gratification for a condition. So the Vedas offer them. But the real purpose is not to engage people in sense gratification, either as a Brahma or as a worm in stool. That is not the purpose. So after many lifetimes of performing pious activities, Lord Narayan is informing Lord Brahma. They're both called Lord. Prabhupada has used this. Of course, some people object. Why are you saying Lord? Sounds like an English Lord. I say. Some people have objected. Not that they have any right to object. But just like you may say, Sri Krishna, Sri Brahma, they're given some respect. Dev, Krishna Dev, Brahma Dev, they're devatas. But Krishna is Devati Deva. He's God beyond all the other gods, or Deva Deva, God who is worshipped by the other gods. So Krishna is giving the knowledge to Brahma that, yes, you're very pious. Very good. You should understand that the real purpose of all this is to understand me. That information is. And Brahma, he will give that to Narada. And then Narada will preach it very widely all over the universe. So sometimes we see that the guru gives knowledge to the disciple, and the disciple more widely than the guru preaches. There are many such examples. Narottam Das, he was sitting in Khetori Gram, which was actually his birthplace, but he was living there as a renunciate. And he trained up so many disciples, so many people came to him, and he instructed them in spiritual knowledge. And then he sent them out here and there, go here and there, travel all over and preach. So then, of course, Narottam Das, he's a very great devotee in his own right. He was sending disciples, go here and there, preach. And got, you see, Narada, he got that inspiration. He got this knowledge, he wanted to preach it everywhere. So Brahma, he's getting this knowledge from Krishna. And that knowledge is being handed down in disciplinary succession, even today. The same thing. What Krishna is speaking to Brahma, same knowledge. That's why we say parampara, this important principle of parampara. Knowledge has to be received in parampara by the acharya system. Amnai parampara. Means the knowledge is not changed. Shota parampara, by hearing. One must hear very carefully. As Prabhupada used to say, because I heard nicely, therefore I can speak nicely. So how much important it is to hear properly. Otherwise, so many people may hear the same guru, but not everyone understands. There are also disciples who, they may be following all the principles and everything, but their understanding is defective. Why is that? Because they haven't followed the proper process. The proper process is Guru Mukha Paddavaka Chite Te Korea Oika Ana Kore Hamunayasha. simply to accept what the words of the Guru and fix them up in your heart, not desiring anything else. Now, it may be difficult for a conditioned soul to do that because we have so many material desires within our hearts. And what the acharyas speak, that is nothing to do with cultivating material desires. The acharyas speak of giving up all material desires and replacing them with the desire to serve Krishna. So actually, as long as we have within our hearts the desire for material enjoyment, then we can't properly understand bhakti and we can't properly enter into bhakti. Bhakti mukti spriha yavat pishachi vidivartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. As long as within our hearts there are the pishachi, the witch-like desires for material enjoyment or even for liberation, then we can't actually experience the bliss of bhakti. We can't enter into bhakti. It's the same thing. Why, you see, we read descriptions of great devotees and their ecstasy. Why am I not experiencing it? Because we have another desire. And bhakti is denied to those who have material desires. Of course, there are levels. We may have 1% bhakti and 99% material desire, or 99% bhakti and 1% material desire. There are different levels. As much as we surrender to Krishna, that much Krishna reciprocates and more. But if we are cultivating material desires, it's not possible to properly understand Krishna. Even though we hear from an acharya, we can't properly understand if we maintain material desires within our hearts. So Krishna is personally speaking to Brahma, who is going to set up or become the head of a sampradaya. So it's understood that Brahma is a worthy person to receive knowledge from Krishna. Just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita stated that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Rupa and Sanatana as the proper people to speak the knowledge which he came to teach, therefore he spoke to them. He imbued within their hearts, just as at the time of creation he imbued within the heart of Brahma, so he imbued within the hearts of Rupa and Sanatana the understanding of devotional service. Oh, Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this? Krishna spoke. And here in Bhagavatam Narayana spoke. One doesn't exclude the other. It can be a different time also. Krishna is Narayana. Not that because one in Brahma Samhita that he said he saw Krishna and here Narayana, it doesn't mean that one of the statements, it's not contradictory. Do you see a contradiction? No. Then what's the question? What's the difference between Krishna and Narayana? Difference, of course, on the platform of transcendental understanding, there is a difference. There are four special qualities of Krishna that Narayana doesn't have, which places him in a different... He's Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Krishna is the embodiment of all nectarian mellows, whereas Narayana is not Akhila Rasamritamurti. He's not all of them are within him. There's difference, but then the matter of surrender, that there's no difference. Have you surrendered to Krishna or Narayana? Especially love of Krishna that comes in, that beyond surrender. Surrender to Krishna, yes. But then beyond surrender, there's more. It's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussing with Ramananda Rai. And when Ramananda Rai suggested Savadhamam Taritya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, tell me more. It's Eho Bhajya. This is external. Age Kahoa. This is external. Tell me something more. You didn't accept this as the perfection of life. It is from one point of view, but then if we consider the love of Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, then it's not. So surrender is the entrance to love of Krishna. But love of Krishna, that is required. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't satisfied simply with surrender to Narayana. He wanted to go beyond to love of Krishna. He is Krishna Prema Pradaya. He's giving love of Krishna. So love of Krishna, also love of Narayana, but it's not developed in the same category because it is in very high stage. We discuss. But Narayana, he reciprocates with the devotees, except Lakshmi, but with all the other devotees in 2.5 rasas. That means Shantaras, Dasyaras, and the lower stages of Sakyaras, which is mixed with awe and reverence. Whereas Krishna, all 5 rasas. That means all the 2.5 plus the other half of Sakyaras, Sakyaras without awe and reverence, then parental love and the Madhurya Bhava, the sweetest of the sweet reciprocations. Of course, those who are pure devotees of Narayana, their concept is different. Because they see Narayana supreme. So that's nice. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't reject that. When he went to Sri Rangam, in a joking way, he explained to his Venkata Bhakta, the uncle of Gopal Bhakta Goswami. In a joking way, he showed that Krishna is superior form to Narayana.